I got nothing for you today. Barbie usually asks me on Sunday mornings when we're back there, right? What are we going to get preached on today? And then usually I give her a little hint. Today I was hoping you was going to ask me because I was going to say nothing. Well, I wasn't too worried about it. I normally give about 20 hours of sermon prep a week, and I gave my 20 hours to Ken Jones this week. And because he was our pal, and he deserved every bit of that and more. And I wasn't worried about what I was going to say today, because I knew that as a result of yesterday, I would have something to say to you today. And I think I'll do it. I do know that I wanted to read from Paul's letter to the Philippians, because it has a lot of meaning for me today towards you. What Paul writes to the Philippians, I have to say to you. So let me speak to you through the Apostle Paul, who begins this letter by saying, "This letter is from Paul and Timothy, slaves of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to all of God's holy people in Philippi," is the name of the town he was writing to, "who belong to Christ Jesus, including the elders and the deacons. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. Whenever I pray, I make my requests for all of you with joy, for you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. And I am certain that God, who began this good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus the Christ returns. So it is right that I should feel as I do about all of you, for you have a special place in my heart. You share with me the special favor of God, both in my imprisonment," Paul writes, that's not applicable to me, except the fact that we're all bound by sin until we leave this world in a sense, "and in defending and confirming the truth of the good news. God knows how much I love you and long for you with the tender compassion of Christ. And I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding. For I want you to understand what really matters, so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Christ. For this will bring much glory and praise to God." I just wanted to say thank you today to you as a congregation of people, to my brothers and sisters in Christ. It has been a tough week for us all. I was especially gratified to see about 50 or maybe a couple more than that attend Ken's memorial service yesterday, that so many of you took time out of your Saturday to come down here and honor Ken. And it was a blessing to look out into a full auditorium. We had 130 chairs set up and we had people standing. It was a blessing to look out and see your faces. And I just want to let you know when that occurs that that's a great encouragement to me to see you all here. I love you all very dearly. I thank you very much for the relationship that we have, for the church, for the fellowship. I learned a few things this last week, two in particular. One is that life is fleeting. Life is very fleeting. Did you know that? I know you knew that. I was up visiting Frank Reiser yesterday afternoon, and I was there with Dreema, and two fellas that are very close to them, friends of Frank's, drove all the way up from southern West Virginia to visit with him for an hour before they drove back yesterday. And one of them is referred to as Brother Jim. Frank's real brother, Jim, died some time ago, and ever since that fella died, Frank has always, he called that guy up and says, "My brother Jim just died. Can I call you my brother Jim from now on?" And ever since then, he's been known as Brother Jim. And we were in that room with Frank, and he's not doing very well. His kidneys have been shut down for 3 days now, so he's not got much longer on this earth, you know. And I was telling them that it's tough to be in that kind of situation and see the loved one like that, but it's also, at the same time, if you can catch a glimpse of it, a high privilege and a calling and a precious moment to be with someone as they pass from this earth to the next world. It's a high privilege, it is. And we were talking about life, and Brother Jim said, you know, when I was a 20-year-old, I was in a Baptist church once, and he says, the preacher said that life is just like a vapor. And he quoted some verse out of the Bible, I don't know where it was, and it says that life is a vapor. And I thought to myself at that time that that preacher was crazy. Life isn't a vapor. Life is a long time. And he says, now I'm 75 years old, and guess what? I know exactly what he was talking about. He says, it just seems like yesterday I graduated from high school, this guy who was 75 years old. And he just told us again that life is fleeting. Life is fleeting. And I know that many of you can identify with that Brother Jim of Frank's, because we're all thinking right now, yeah, seems just like yesterday we graduated from high school, right? Life goes by quickly, and I guess what I'm saying is that while we have time here upon this earth, we have these precious relationships with one another that we dare not take for granted. That's something we all learned about Ken and his intentionality about nurturing relationships. We dare not take these relationships for granted. We need to hold them close to our hearts. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have the privilege and the high calling to love one another in any way that we can and to express it often. And perhaps we don't express that often enough. And that's why I wanted to tell you all today, before I'm taken out, you never know when you're taken out, that I love you. And I appreciate you all, and it's my high privilege to be involved in this ministry with all of you together. It's a high calling. Hi, Dottie, I didn't see you back there. I'm so glad that your family's here today. That family back there knows that life is fleeting. They lost their father and their husband just a few weeks ago. And if I had known you were here, I should have been praying for you, and I continue to pray for you, Dottie, and your children. But life is fleeting. Life is fragile. I just want to remind us today that life is fragile. Gail and I were on our way to Karen's house Friday night and got a telephone call that a 28-year-old friend of ours was killed in a freak accident on River Styx Road. She was just in our house a couple weeks ago. She's the very best friend of Gail's son's Brett's significant other, Paige. And they were all over to our place a couple weeks ago when Brett was home from Florida. And this young lady by the name of Devin was preparing to go to Florida and be with Paige and Brett next week. And who would have known just driving down the road that the wind would blow a tree over? And you just happened to be coming by at that exact moment for that tree to crush your car and just took her out just like that. She leaves behind two children. Life is not only fleeting, it's fragile. And I don't want to make you depressed or down. I just want to remind us of the truth that we all know, but sometimes we try to live without thinking too much about these things. But none of us knows how much time we have left. There's a 28-year-old young lady here today and gone tomorrow. And so I guess what I'm saying is that because life is fleeting and fragile and we have these relationships, I just wanted to remind us again today how much we need to love one another and be strong and united together. We are the church in this place, and it's a high privilege and a high calling to be just that. I thank you so much for the ministry that we share together. I spoke in Ken's memorial service yesterday and was so thankful that he has been supportive, in fact, led the way many times in becoming a church, a truly community church. Ever since we came to Chippewa Lake, our idea was to live up to our namesake. We had the name before we ever came here, Cross Point Community Church, but we really never had a place to flesh out that name because we were kind of a bunch of vagabonds, you know, traveling around from location to location, and then through a number of extraordinary circumstances, and God was behind the scenes orchestrating it all, we were able to purchase this building in this community. And ever since we've come here, I've had the calling, and the leaders and all of us have had the calling to become a community church. And I said yesterday, and I probably shouldn't be prideful, but I am, that there's probably not one church in 100. I don't know. Don't quote me on that anywhere. But there's probably not at least one church in 50. 1,000. who get together on a regular basis and are very intentional on what can we do to bring the grace of the Lord Jesus to the people of our community. And by saying that, I don't mean to leave out the people who are in the community that some of you folks live in, because we were vagabonds. We've picked up people from Medina and Lodi and Litchfield and Spencer. And I don't at all wish at all to say that we're ignoring your communities. But the fact is that you drive here from wherever you happen to live to participate in this community church. And God calls us to minister to the people in our locale. And so it's a wonderful privilege and an honor to serve the people of Chippewa Lake any way, shape, or form that we can. We're not perfect by any means. Please, Lord, don't hear me. I don't want to get all puffed up and say that we're the end all. We're struggling and we're trying to discover new ways to help out, and it's always difficult to find the needs, but we're trying. And I think we're making some inroads and some impacts, and I'm so thrilled that we are, and I so much appreciate all of your support towards those efforts. I received a wonderful phone call from the mayor the other day, about a week ago or so, Mayor Dodaro here in Chippewa Lake. She's a precious soul, and I'm lucky to count her my friend, as many of you are. And she called me to tell me about this community party that they've been having towards the end of the summer. It's on Labor Day weekend in Chippewa Lake. And they have the ski team show. I think it starts at 4:30, something like that. The ski team kicks off the party. Alan, I know you know a lot about this, so if I'm wrong, please correct me. But the ski team show. And then after the ski team show, people hang around and they have food and they have music and they sell tickets for 50-50 tickets, is it? And it's just a year-end party for the community. And Joanne called and said, Randy, I know that your church is all about doing what you can in the community. She says, will you take this project over for us? I said, well, I'll think about it, and I'll talk to my leaders about it. I was thinking right in my mind. I told her right away, thank you for asking us to do something like that. It's an awesome privilege. I said, you need to think about that, Joanne. We talked a little while, and I'll talk to all my people about it, and we'll get back with you. And then a week or so later, I called her up and said, why don't you come down to the church? My leaders are getting together. We'll have a meeting, and I'd like you to be there and kind of give us an idea of what you had in mind. So the long and the short of it, as far as you need to know today, is that I'm looking for your help on the Labor Day Sunday, September the 3rd, starting around, well, I don't know. I think the event starts around 5 or something like that. And we don't have all the ideas fleshed out. I'm going to put together a group of people to kind of put this together. But I know we'll be selling food and tickets. And Joanne told us this has always been a fundraiser. This is for the parks, the local parks. And I asked her maybe if we could tweak that a little bit. And because I've been wanting to give back to the fire department, because we were so privileged and honored to have Brad and April and some of their finest people from the fire department here for our vacation Bible school. And they just helped those kids so much. And Brad and April, I give God so much thanks for you guys not only coming to the church, but that week when you were here with those kids. And I want to give back to our fire department. I told Brad, we need to find a way that we could do a little fundraising for you guys or something. And so this kind of fell right into our lap. And Joanne was fine with splitting the money 50-50 between the parks and the fire department. So that I'm not saying that that's the way it's going to go down, but if I have anything to do with it, that's the way it'll be going down. But I'll convince the rest of the leaders and all that that's probably a good way to go. What I'm saying to you is that what Paul talked about in Philippians about the reputation of your congregation is spreading around there, the same thing is happening here in Chippewa Lake. And to receive a telephone call like that from the mayor and saying, you know, we've had this party, and can I just turn this over to you? I hope you appreciate as much as I do, and I think you do, that it's an awesome privilege to be that kind of a church where the community would say, hey, why don't you take this thing over for us? And I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope some of you guys will help out. I know you will. We'll have a lot of work to do that Sunday. It's a privilege. Jim and I have a privilege today. We were asked, as we have been for the last 3 or 4 years, to play music down at what's called the Pride Party. There's a Village Pride Committee here. They exist to beautify the community. And Pam Williams always is on that and gives me a call, usually about July, says, will you and Jim do that event again? Yeah, we'll take care of that. So we get the big party down in Point Park later this afternoon, and Lord willing, we'll be there, won't we? It's a privilege. So, I don't know, I didn't have too much to say today, but that's what I wanted to get across. I did. Pardon? Oh, last year it was, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Brad and April back there saying, yeah, that's right. That's amen. That's the day I put the lasso around them. I said, gonna get Brad and April. Well, it's a great privilege we have here, my friends, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to say again, I love you, and we have a high calling to be there for one another in whatever ways that we can. And you do such a good job at it, and I thank you very much for that. You know what we haven't done in a while is stand up and greet one another. And I would like for us, just based upon what I said there, for take an extended time this morning to greet one another, to speak words of grace and love to people who are around you, and just say hello again or whatever you might want to say, or how can I pray for you, or whatever. Why don't we just take a few moments to stand and have a greet time today? We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's greet one another.
2 hours later.
I have one more comment, and then the choir is going to sing. Something I kind of forgot I had in my mind I wanted to mention was I appreciate so much the way you guys are just like that. At the end of the service here, you know, you guys just don't want to leave on Sunday mornings. And so many of you hang out, you know, and I've been in other churches where people come together, and I don't mean to be down on, I'm just a little comparing a little bit. I've been part of churches where, you know, people come, they come into worship, when church is over, everybody's gone. Not here. And that speaks volumes of you, because you love one another.
Now,
and
you like.
Is that what it is?
Well, there's that.
Fire code aside.
Thank you for that.